Good morning. Speaker for today sounds really grown up and a bit scary. Okay, it's not important at all that the slides aren't working. So, there's an Englishman, an Irishman, and a Scotsman. No. Okay. I will improvise. We're going to talk about wildernesses and deserts. And over the years, there have been many people like Shackleton, David Livingstone, John Franklin, who have been brave, and they've conquered deserts and all sorts of bleak places. Welcome, Murray. Now, I have a volunteer called Seth, who's going to be our explorer this morning. Round of applause for Seth. Now, Seth is a bit... Could you lose these, Grant, if you fade those out? That's better. Fade them out, yeah. So, although he's dressed for a Sunday morning, he's not really dressed to be an explorer. So I wondered if anybody would volunteer a coat, perhaps, or a scarf that he could wear. We've got a lovely scarf here. Oh, and a coat. Thank you. Thank you. There's that. Would you like to? Well, it could be fairly chilly, so here's another coat. What about a hat? Do we have a hat? Oh, fantastic.
Ooh, Pam's got one there, look, as well.
Oh. You've got a choice. Which one would you like, Seth? Would you like this one or this one?
No.
Both. Okay. Okay. Well, this one's wet. Do we have any goggles or anything to help? Oh, great, Charlie, thank you. Okay, some goggles there for the sunlight of the desert. And I was rummaging around and I thought you might need a stick to help you. Have you got a free hand? And lost property, not really. Here's a map to guide you. Do you feel ready for anything, any eventuality? It's all right, you can say no. You can say no. Round of applause for Seth for being such a fine volunteer. So the sort of terrain that Seth might be facing is it's very misty. Could you click the next one? Okay. Oh no, you're shedding clothes. Okay, I think we may not be able to rely on... Oh. We could sing that again if we wanted. Excellent. Hooray! So this is the sort of terrain Seth might be encountering. I think that's the Gobi Desert. Can you click the next one, Murray? Antarctica? Yeah? Next one? Oh, sorry, that's Red Hill. I don't know how that got in there. Next one, Murray. Anyone guess where that is? Sahara. And the next one, Murray. Anyone guess where that is? Okay, this is a church. We're talking about Jesus and things. It's the Judean desert. So, thank you, Seth. Do you want to shed all your clothes here and we'll return it to everybody afterwards because we're just going to talk a little bit more about the Judean desert. Another round of applause for Seth. Thank you. You can take this back to Charlie. I'll take those. Thank you. So Jesus knew all about the wilderness. And Mark, if you could come up and read this lesson appropriately from Mark, because in its account from John's Gospel about Jesus' time in the desert. Murray, if you could click it on to the next one.
At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him.
Thanks, Mark. So Jesus had nothing for 40 days and 40 nights, a hardship that we recreate in a very small way during Lent, which starts on Wednesday, whether that's giving up smoking, supporting Tottenham, or coffee, or something like that. Now, Jesus would have had nothing, very little to clothe or protect him, no food or drink or shelter, and the wilderness was dangerous, full of scorpions and snakes. No one would choose to live there. Now, you and I are unlikely to be tested by desert conditions, but we are tested in different times in our lives, tests of our faith and our character. And these tough times can be a sort of wilderness. There are no snakes or scorpions, but it can be painful to endure. One of the biggest tests that we face in the wilderness is, do we trust God or not? So what might the wilderness mean for us? Perhaps we feel in a wilderness now, a wilderness of worries at school or work, worries about the family, or it could be illness or loneliness. And maybe we're aware of a wilderness that we're going to have to face in the future. And perhaps we know others who are in a wilderness right now. And perhaps like our trepid explorer Seth, we feel underprepared and not ready. But that need not necessarily be the case. The Bible reading that we heard from Mark says that before Jesus went into the wilderness to be tested, he was baptized. And at his baptism, God said these words to him, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." So Jesus would have gone into the desert with those words ringing in his ears, that he was God's son, that he was loved, and that God was proud of him. These words must have helped him to keep trusting in God during those 40 days when he was tested. If we are going to be able to trust God, then we too need to claim that reassurance, who we are in God's sight. And there's a big clue in the Bible, one of my favorite verses, about how God sees us. So Murray, if you could click onto the next one. It's from 1 John chapter 3. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." And I love the exclamation mark at the end of that. When we put our trust in Jesus, we become children of God, children who are dearly loved by their Heavenly Father, children who make that Heavenly Father proud. And this is the reassurance that we can take into the wilderness. So Murray, if you could just do the next one. Now, Hannah and I love this documentary. It's called Won't You Be My Neighbor? And it was one of Barack Obama's top 10 films of last year. It tells the story of this man, Fred Rogers, who for 30 years on American Public Service Broadcasting had a program for children called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Fred, as well as being a broadcaster, was also a Presbyterian minister. And the series encouraged children over those 30 years to feel loved and special. And I read last night that Tom Hanks is going to play him in a film that's coming out later on in the year. Fred was often asked to give speeches to students on their graduation day. They were students who'd grown up watching him. And in these speeches, he would always say the same thing. He would say this: "From the time you were very little, you've had people who have smiled you into smiling, people who have talked you into talking, sung you into singing, and loved you into loving." He would then ask the students to think about somebody who had helped them in their life. He would say, "Some may be here, some may be far away, some may even be in heaven. No matter where they are, they've always cared for you beyond measure and encouraged you to be the best within you." The students would then think about these people for a minute, and it's a very moving sequence to watch in the documentary. And I believe that God sends people like that to us to help us through those times when we feel in the wilderness. What they did may be a memory, or they may be people helping us at the moment. And I hope we've all known people like that. So I won't do this for a minute, but why don't you just for a few seconds think about people who have helped you in your life. So we should thank God for those people. And maybe we feel in a wilderness or we fear about one in the future and we feel like ill-prepared explorers like Seth, with no equipment, no supplies, no chance. So let's remember, we have been and we are loved by others. We're loved by God as his children. As that verse said, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. So let's have those thoughts ringing in our ears when we're in our wildernesses and during Lent. Amen.